Hello and welcome. It is good to be with you. I have been looking forward to this time. I trust that you have as well. Excuse me. I have been especially looking forward to this time. You remember the last time together we looked at Psalm 150 and concluded the book of Psalms. And as I began thinking and praying about what to do, I was actually led to go back through the book of Psalms again, except do it somewhat differently. Before we went through it and tried very hard to look at the historical context, gain an understanding of the passage, and based upon that, get some, I guess you call it, devotional thoughts. And this time I want us to look at it more in a devotional way, certainly keeping the theological understanding, certainly interpreting it correctly, because if you're not based on truth, there's no point in it. But to look at the lessons we can gain about life and living from this passage. You know, the book of Psalms, it has, as we've commented before, so much theology, a lot more than we think, but it's always in terms and applied in everyday life. And I want us to look at that everyday life portion as we look at the book of Psalms this time. It helps us with our life and our living with the Lord. And so as we think about coming to the Lord in this time, and we think about being in His Word in this way, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. Lord, for all that You have given to us. Lord, the opportunity to be here today. Father, the Word that You have inspired and preserved. Father, that You alone interpret. Father, we thank You that You have sent Your Spirit to give us that understanding. And Father, I pray now, Lord, that You will open our minds and our hearts, O Lord, to hear from You. Father, draw us close to You. We want to know You. We want to be able to trust You. We want to grow in Your grace, O Lord, and in Your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we look at Psalm 1, it's one of my favorite psalms. It sets the tone for the entire book of Psalms. And by the way, it was actually this psalm that really led me as I was thinking about what to do for the as we move forward in our times together, to look at the book of Psalms again. When I had eye surgery several weeks ago, and especially the first days after that when I really couldn't read much, I went to Psalm 1 several days and read and partially used what I could read to jog my memory for the rest of the passage, and spent quite a bit of time there. And it's amazing how even after all these times of looking at Psalm 1, in spite of the fact it's been one of my favorites for years, just the newness and the freshness that was there. And that through that felt led for us to look at the book of Psalms more in this way. And so as we look at this psalm, and as we think about the message that is here, I want us to go back and I want us to reread this psalm and then see what God has to say through it to us. Again, Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. As we look at this psalm, what we see is, in fact, the blessed life. And by that, I mean the life that God blesses. What does that life look like? And even more importantly, in one sense, how do we experience that life blessed by God? Well, as we look at this passage, several things come to our mind. And it's, to be honest, again, came out of that time right after my eye surgery. The first thing that we notice about the blessed life as we look at this psalm is that, first of all, God desires to bless us. He wants to bless us. Look at the first part of verse 1. How blessed is the man. I know that's cutting that, you know, that verse very, very short, but think about that. How blessed is the man. Well, that tells us the fact that God desires to bless us. God, the Creator, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who holds all things together, the one who's the sovereign ruler of all, the one who's in fact taking this world to exactly where he wants it to be, the perfect fulfillment of his plan, the God who's in control of all things at all times, in all places, in every way, desires to bless us, weak, frail little creatures, born as sinners because of the fall. We commit acts of sin on our own. Thank God for his wonderful salvation through Jesus Christ. And yet, even you know, when we're redeemed, we stop and think about how small, weak, and frail, small, in one sense, insignificant when you compare us, you know, the rest of the universe. And yet God loves us, and God deeply wants to bless us. That is an absolutely amazing thought to think about. God wants to bless us. You think about a Bible verse that's probably very familiar to you. You may even have it memorized. You may have it on a note card or a coffee mug. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope." You know, we often think about that verse, you know, on the, so to speak, on the front end of a situation moving in. And yet what makes that verse all the more amazing is the context in which it's found. Just like we talked about earlier, we certainly want to keep things in the biblical context. That verse, that promise, was originally made to the Jews who had been carried away into exile into Babylon. You think about that. After all those years of rebelling against God, rejecting his prophets, in fact treating them horribly, God was left with no other option but to judge his people, bring the Babylonians in to invade Judah, capture Jerusalem, level it, destroy the temple, and to take, you know, the Jews into captivity in Babylon. And yet, what was God's desire through all of that? Obviously, a horrible experience to go through. I'm not trying to belittle it at all. But God's ultimate purpose was for the blessing of his people. In fact, it is when those exiles wrote to Jeremiah and said, okay, we've been carried away in exile. Well, what is it we need to do? And this is the first group of that was deported, because the deportation actually is in three waves. But the first group that was taken off, Babylon or Jerusalem still standing, they write back to Jeremiah, what do we need to do? And he told them, you know, to be faithful where they were, and he gave them that promise. God desired to bless his people. Yes, he disciplined. Yes, he chastened. Yes, he judged them. But his desire was, in fact, to bless them. We have a God, as we think about the blessed life, who wants to give us that blessed life. He wants to bless us. Now, to be sure, it may not look like what the world values and treasures so much. You know, the world values things, values experiences, values prominence, values preeminence. God gives us an inner rich. He might give us those other things. He might use us in those roles. But the richness, the blessing that God gives us is from within, that quite frankly enables us to enjoy those other things. Or if God chooses for us not to have them, we don't lose them. We don't miss them. But God's desire is the full, abundant life that we have and can only have in him. You know, John 10:10 says, the thief, talking about Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's what Satan wants to do in our lives and the life of every single human being. But I come, our Lord makes the contrast, so that they might have life and have it abundantly. What's he talking about? The abundant life, the full life, the inner rich life, the blessed life. God desires to bless us, to fill our lives with his abundant, overflowing riches. God desires to bless us. But then as we look at this psalm, we think, okay, that's great. God desires to bless us. How do I experience that? What is it that I need to do? Well, we see, secondly, that God directs us into his blessing. Look again at the latter part of verse 1, going through verse 2. It tells us, first of all, what not to do. who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. That is obviously what not to do. You look at that and the individual becomes increasingly comfortable with sin. But then look at verse 2. But his delight, that is this person who's going to experience God's blessing, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. You know, it is through his word that God blesses us. And we experience that blessing when we delight in his word. That means that we look at this, this has worth. This has value. This is where the answers are. We talk about delighting in God's word. It means that we value it, we treasure it, we recognize just how important it is. And for that reason, it is important to us. It is, in fact, the path to blessing. And you think about why that is. First of all, it shows us who God is. Because apart from him, there is no blessing. Apart from him, there is nothing. In fact, it is God himself that makes life worth living. God himself is the blessing of life and living. It is in him that the fullness is found, as we just talked about in John 10:10. But it shows us who God is. And then it shows us his ways, his priorities, his desires, certainly, yes, his commands, his principles. But you think about what his word means. God says, you know, I want to bless you, and this is the path to my blessing. We will never experience God's blessing outside of following his word. And you think about that in your life. If you're wanting to truly experience God's blessing, there's only one way, and that is by being in his word. Certainly seeking to know what the word says, and through that to know him, to know his ways, to know what God has for us to do, and then in fact doing it, obeying it, applying it, being a doer of the word, as we read about in the book of James. This is in fact God revealing to us the way in which he wants us to live and to live before him. This is how he directs us into his blessing. We delight in his word. We seek to know him through it, and we follow him. That is how he directs us into his blessing. But then notice what else we see as we look at this passage. We find out that number three, God determines to bless us. You might think, well, that sounds awfully similar to the fact that God desires to bless us. But what I mean by this when I say that God determines to bless us is the fact that God is personally involved and is working to bring it about. Think about verses 4 through 5 in the latter part of verse 6. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Again, the latter part of verse 6. The way of the wicked will perish. But look at the contrast, very first part of verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. And understand what that means. When it says he knows the way of the righteous, it doesn't just mean that God knows the way that we're going. It doesn't just mean that God is aware. Kind of like you and I, you know, are aware of the news. You know, I try to keep up with what's happening politically in our nation, socially, morally. There's a tropical storm, hurricane brewing in the Gulf that you're watching to see where it's going to go, what we need to do, you know, as an individual, with my family, certainly church, because the timing would be about Wednesday. So what do we do? You know, when we talk about God knowing the way of the righteous, it's not just that God's watching the news and is aware of what's taking place. What it means is the fact that God is the one who's actually at work making it happen. Creating it, ruling over it, that it's God who makes it happen. You think about the tremendous truth of that. This very moment, God is at work in our life, in every situation. This very moment, God's at work in your life, in every circumstance, every situation, with every need, every problem, every worry, every burden, God is at work. Again, you think about another verse that we know very well. You probably have it memorized. Again, you might have it on a note card someplace, or a Bible, or a coffee mug, whatever. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God and those called according to his purpose. we know that God causes all things to work together. Well, how does that happen? Well, that's because God's working to make it happen. This very moment, in every situation that you are encountering, that you're in, God is in fact at work. God determines to bless us. God is at work to bring us to that blessing that He wants to give us if we will only follow His word so that He can make it happen. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us that blessed life. You think about that. He wants to bless you. He's given you His word to guide you into His blessing, and He is currently at work to bring that blessing about. What a God we have. What a reason to trust Him, to seek Him, to follow Him. This great God wants to bless you. Will you let Him bring that about? Will you let Him make you into a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever He does, He prospers? That's what God wants to do. And if you'll follow His word, that's what He'll make happen. We have a God who wants to give us the blessed life. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for this day. And, oh Lord, for who You are, Your wonderful love for us. Oh God, Your desire to bless us. Father, may we trust Your desire to bless. Father, may we truly follow Your word. And oh God, open our eyes to see You working to bless us. Father, thank You. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.